I'm Adam.
And I'm Meg.
And we're going to watch Breaking Bad.
In reverse.
Breaking backwards? Hey, everyone, it's Sunday.
Easter Sunday. Let's
Easter
go back
Sunday.
To that.
welcome to Take 5 of Breaking Backwards.
It's been an episode that has been attempted too many times to count now because something's going on with my computer.
Yep. Yeah, we might have heard a little rumblings on it last week with some crackle at the beginning, but I think that's fixed now, so hopefully.
Fingers crossed.
If it's not, oops.
We're trying. It's not for a lack of effort that this episode is trying to happen.
We're trying our best, you guys. We just watched I don't know the fucking number. Oh, season 3, episode 3. It's called IFT. The only thing you guys missed is the delightful reaction when Meg found out it stands for I fucked Ted.
I mean, it still makes me pretty excited to hear that.
Mm-hmm. So that's fun. I wonder if that was like a dig. Because everyone's like, ugh, Skyler's always in his way and shitty. And so they straight up called an episode after her just making this power move.
So like we're past the halfway point now. And I know I've heard tale of people saying like, Skyler, what a pooper. But I have yet to see her do anything that poopy, you know. I have actually grown to find Walt even more unlikable than he was in the beginning.
Interesting.
I guess maybe we can get into that. It seems like the more he's tried to be humanized, at first it was just like, look at this big bad guy who is being so bad. And he's almost just like Jafar from Aladdin or something. Like his identity is that he's evil. But then as like they try to, as I see him get more and more backstory, I'm still like, I don't really feel sympathy for this guy. You know, he still sucks.
Yeah, because at least when he was a big old bad guy, he was cool. And now he's just like a shitty husband.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he was already a shitty husband at this point in their marriage, regardless of the cooking meth. I don't think he was a better husband before cooking meth. Like he's already, it's not like you start cooking meth and everything changes, especially if you're not using it. It's like he started cooking meth in his 50s. Or his late 40s, and he was probably already kind of a little pain in the ass of a husband, you know? I don't know.
Yeah. Cancer makes people very annoying.
It's universally true. That's why they have all those walks for all those annoying pains in the asses.
If someone has cancer, it's all they'll fucking talk about.
So I was just so tickled pink to hear about I Fuck Ted being what the initials of IFT is about. But
I didn't learn that until very recently.
And were you like, I can't wait to tell Meg about this?
No, I learned about it my last rewatch, which was before El Camino. Because I just wanted to watch it for that. And I was like, IFT, huh. I don't remember this one. And then I watched it. And I was like, huh, what's IFT stand for? And then looked at Wikipedia and I was like, huh, I Fuck Ted. That makes sense.
Yeah, good for her. That's all I had to say. Preemptively, too long, don't listen. Good for Skyler, in my opinion. Yeah.
Although I don't like Ted.
I think he seems like a good old fuckboy.
Because Walt, for all his flaws, is not a tax cheat.
Okay, so we have a really
good... And that's my big... I respect the federal government, and I like those taxes for our roads and our schools. Make your case.
If you respect the federal government, then you probably would respect the fact that methamphetamine is a schedule, like, it's a, like, whatever the classes and schedules are. The fact that Walt is cooking and distributing meth has to be leagues more severe than just not paying your taxes the right way.
I think this is just a philosophical difference between you and I, then.
Oh, my gosh. This keeps happening.
Yeah, it's just, you know... Okay, so there's a few more meth heads out there. We can still do the census because we have our tax dollars in line, and we can still fund after school programs because, you know, but with what Ted did, you can't do any of that.
But I don't know that the money from cooking meth then goes towards, like, into taxes at all.
He launders it so he could pay taxes.
Okay.
He launders it so he can pay. He runs a car wash so he can pay taxes.
Yeah, but it's, like, not even the full amount of taxes on the amount of money he's getting.
Oh, and I don't like that. I wish he paid full amount.
Okay, so at least we can agree that he's not paying the full amount. He's paying taxes on, like, I'm going to say $300,000 worth of business versus the, like, $80 million he made, you know?
Yeah, and I do wish it was okay for drug dealers. If you're like, hey, I can't launder all this. I wish you were able to put up the amount of taxes you should pay in a manila envelope and mail it to the IRS and just say, write taxes on it. And they weren't allowed to ask questions. They're like, here's some taxes for some money I got in some less than legal means. You're not allowed to come after it because I'm paying it.
Okay. Yeah, no, that's how it should work. If we truly are the land of the free and the home of the brave, mm-hmm. then that's what it should be. You know, it mm-hmm. should be like that.
Yep. And I'm a tax man. Every time I make a sale and there's a little tax thrown on top, state sales tax, I go, thank you for being a patriot, sir, to the checkout guy.
That makes sense.
Yeah, because I like it. Yeah. I go, this is for your roads. Sorry.
Well, okay. So Skylar fucks Ted. Ted doesn't pay taxes that great. And
I would never fuck a tax cheat.
Okay. Yeah. No, how do you know?
No, not one time.
You don't know that you haven't.
In the middle of it, I would pull out if she told me she was a tax cheat.
I say some weird stuff when I'm getting intimate. I don't know that I ever got into taxes, though.
Really? Okay. I wouldn't, because if you made a guy like me, their boner will shrink.
Well, I've only ever done a good job with my taxes. I pay a guy a lot of money.
I would not host a podcast with someone who wasn't good at their taxes.
Okay. Yep. Well, I'm not good at them, but the guy
I'm not good. I'm not good at them, but if you didn't pay them, yeah. Okay. I should join the IRS because I love their mission.
You just love the whole team motto. Yeah. Okay, so we have got, I can't even think of how this episode starts other than at some point Jesse buys a house. That's all.
I think he's already in the house. Yeah, but yeah. Well, it starts with a flashback.
It starts at the flashback.
Of Danny Trejo.
And Danny Trejo is in there. And I have to say, I think Danny Trejo might be the most notable person in the cast up until...
I feel like Bryan Cranston's more famous than Danny Trejo at this time in history.
I feel like they're neck and neck. I don't know. Danny Trejo, I mean, Trejo's got restaurants. Trejo's like an institution. He's had a career way longer than Bryan Cranston.
But yeah, but like Cranston gets butts in seats now. No one's going out to see the newest Trejo vehicle.
Does he get butts and seats in this?
Oh, yeah. Lyndon Johnson? He played Lyndon Johnson.
He played Lyndon Johnson? That wasn't the Gary Oldman?
I think they both have played
Lyndon
Johnson.
Maybe he played Winston Churchill. Maybe that's
Gary Oldman played Winston Churchill in a very actory performance, from what it seemed. He played Trumbo. He played... he was Zord.
Oh, we did see that Zordon.
That's the first thing me and Meg ever saw at theaters together.
Yeah, he was Zordon. That's true. But Danny Trejo has been working since like the 70s.
Yeah, true.
He's kind of like a staple in, I would say, the Latino like actor pantheon.
True.
I don't know what you want to call it.
But then why didn't they make him the star of Breaking Bad?
I think because. You're right. They should have. They should have had Danny Trejo be the star. I don't know what to tell you. I was about to say, you know, Danny Trejo fits the bill of like kind of that gruff cartel guy better than Bryan Cranston. But why the fuck couldn't he just have been a chemistry teacher?
How come in that casting call in 2006 when Cranston and Trejo were sitting on that chair and they went with Cranston?
I'm not familiar with the casting directors on this piece.
Said, Trejo, we liked your read, but we think Cranston might be more what we're looking for. And also, he puts butts in seats, unlike you.
I don't think Cranston put butts in seats in 2008. I just don't. I think Bryan Cranston, like you've even said on this podcast, was like, oh, the guy from Malcolm in the Middle is in a serious drama and it's good, but nobody knew him as Bryan Cranston. Danny
that
Trejo,
was his name back then, the guy from Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah, he had to take a screen or a stage name. Danny Trejo, I feel like, has always been, I don't know, like I got to meet Danny Trejo at Trejo's Tacos once.
I do love Trejo's Tacos.
Yeah, it's a great place. And I was tickled pink. I was so excited. I got to meet Danny Trejo.
Nice.
And I don't know that I'd ever be that excited to meet Bryan Cranston, though he seems like a lovely guy.
I met Bryan Cranston at Cranston's Crepes.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a breakfast establishment on Sunset.
And, Yeah.
And he was really nice. And he kept calling me pig fucker. I don't know why, but I found it endearing. But yeah, anyway, Trejo's in the cold open, you guys.
And he's drinking, and I'm going to be level with you. My kids were fighting over Fortnite during this part, so it's a very caption-heavy scene, and boy, oh boy, do I not read most of those subtitles.
It seems like
people are like, hey, drink alcohol? And he's like, hell yeah, I drink alcohol. And then his boss comes in and goes, should you be drinking that alcohol? You got somewhere to be. And he's like, It's fine. I've got plenty of time. And then his boss is like, happy birthday. I got you something. Mm-hmm. Is that more or less it?
Kind of. Yeah. Do you remember that boss? The boss is Juan Bolsa, who was there when Gus's boyfriend died. And then the
Federales FBI, get him.
Federales. Yeah. Kills him eventually.
Yeah.
And he says some shit about like, a man does not wait for his turn at the well. A man takes his drink and he's spouting wise to all the denizens of the bar. And I thought Cranston would have done a good job with this monologue too.
Yeah. I think Cranston would have seemed right in place there.
And then Juan Bolsa comes in and he's like, hey man, it's your birthday. I got you a big turtle.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody ever gave me a living thing for my birthday that I hadn't been like, man, I would feel complete with a big turtle. Like if someone was just like, here is a giant tortoise, it lives 100 years, and you know, I'd be like, what the fuck? I mean, thank you for the thank you for thinking of me, but I don't know that I can accept this.
They did mention his nickname is Tortuga, which is Spanish for tortoise.
Okay, so I just look silly.
No. It's cool. That would have been random if they're like, here's a turtle. Also, a bobcat.
What if my nickname was 10,000 hamsters, I wouldn't expect 10,000 hamsters for my birthday, you know?
I mean, don't tempt fate with that nickname. Who knows?
All right, so he's like, this is perfect. I love a giant tortoise. Me and this guy are going to get into all sorts of hijinks. And then Juan Bolsa is like, but wait, you can paint on it, so let me do that. And then he paints a thing that's like death, like happy death day or something. What does it actually
say? He writes hola, and then something else that I can't really talk about, but and then the cousins come in. They cut his head off.
Yeah, that was rude, Adam.
That I forgot to tell you that.
Yeah, I knew it was coming, and I think I closed my eyes, but could still register, like, the chop down and, like, the separation or whatever.
I think I remember I was like, oh, shit, this is violent, but Meg doesn't like gunshots, so
so we're decapitations, good. Real-time decapitations. They really killed Danny Trejo.
They really, yeah.
He was carrying around his head under his arm like the Headless Horseman at Trejo's Tacos.
Yeah, yeah, he's dead now.
That's wild.
Do you know he went to jail for like 10 years or some shit?
Is that right?
Yeah, and then he started acting afterwards, so he's like a big success story about getting out of gang life and turning towards Jesus or whatever. I don't know.
But, you know, that's interesting, too, that he is the type of, like, he just knows, he just plays the part he plays, you know what I mean? And he's not like, I don't know, sometimes it's interesting to see a character actor really, like, just lean into their deal, you know what I mean?
But besides Robert Rodriguez's Machete, has Trejo ever been the star of anything? And I guess I maybe something I should maybe stipulate, not Spanish speaking, but maybe that's not good. Because I can't think of anything.
I can't think of anything. But I'm just saying as a character actor.
As a character actor. True, true, true.
Yeah. Just a hard, tough ass with a heart of gold towards tortoises.
Yeah. Anyway, and then Skylar walks in and she fucks Ted.
No, not
in Mexico.
Yet.
Yeah. No, okay. Stop we'll wait. What happens?
That's the end of it. I feel like I've seen this tortoise before. Have I or not?
No, you haven't seen it before. Okay. Then Mike's waiting outside of Walt's house, and he's like, he doesn't know how close he came.
Yeah, it seems like he was close to dying, and Walt's just cleaning a pizza off the top of his roof, which I was like, that seems like it'd be fun, but you were like, never, not my beloved pizza. I would never disgrace pizza in such a way.
I would never waste a slice of pizza, not a single time. it's my favorite food. I would never throw it, denigrate it, talk shit about it. I pay extra sales tax when I order pizza.
What if it was shit-ass toppings like anchovies and pineapple?
You mean good-ass toppings? I don't know. Actually, would those be bad together? Because I don't know. Both of those independently are fine.
I don't like pineapple. I don't know that I've... When you have anchovies on a pizza, are they just like little anchovy fillets?
I might never have had it now that I'm thinking about it. I'd be open to it. I've never been like, ew, but... I would do it.
I'm going to tell an anecdote that I didn't experience, but there's a kind of notorious story of like on my parents' second date, my mom has, you know, my siblings are all half siblings. So my siblings were all around and my dad came over, went to go get pizza for them. And instead of just like playing it safe and getting like cheese and pepperoni, my dad didn't know what toppings to get. So he got everything, including anchovies.
Gross.
Yeah.
Well, just everything. That's the only... It's too much.
Yeah, and I always wanted to ask him, like, what was the thought process there? Like, what was... But he doesn't know. He can't track it. He, like, blacked out. The pressure of buying the pizza was too hard for him. So
the pizza Walt's cleaning is just your classic pepperoni, and it looks very good.
Yeah. Now that I'm talking so much about pizza, I'm probably going to have it tonight.
I had pizza last night. Soon.
Oh, man.
I went to a little... we got a Brooklyn slice.
A Brooklyn slice. Those are very big, but they're thin.
Yeah, it was a big slice, and it's frustrating because if you go in, the guy behind the counter goes, "You think you can handle it?"
All right.
Mm-hmm. And he's like, "All right, coming at you, one slice." And then when you walk out, everyone goes, "Hey, look at one slice over here." Everyone on the street.
I haven't had pizza since last Tuesday. Ooh. So it's been rough.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think before that I hadn't had pizza in a couple weeks, but it was worth it. This weekend's just been a food bender for me. It's been wonderful.
I've been trying to eat well. Like, I think we talked about this. I just like a decadent dinner. I can't help it. Mm-hmm. I do well. Like, I haven't had anything to eat today at all. And I'll go and I'll have like a salad for lunch, or I'll have a couple hard boiled eggs. But then by the time dinner comes around, I'm like, fuck it, Nashville hot chicken sandwiches. That's that. And then all my good work has been undone.
Do you think our listeners get annoyed that we talk about our eating habits and our exercise habits like a lot, a lot on this show?
Should we stop?
No, I'm never stopping. But I just wonder what they think. I don't know. The ones that we don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, the ones we know are definitely annoyed by it, but the ones that we don't know, I want to know, whoever the fuck in Ireland, that person.
Yeah, well, okay. If you're from Ireland, drop a comment in the section below and let us know if you think it's okay how we talk about our food and exercise habits, like, a lot.
And we never talk about drinking Guinness.
We never drink any Guinness.
Arnie Carned Beef.
Toy to toy to toy.
Oh, wow, lost a viewer. Okay. Yeah.
They didn't hear the part where we talked about freckles, so.
Oh, right. That got cut out. That was one of our many, many, many attempts of starting an episode. <Didn't work. laughs> And then also, you guys missed it. My mic came unplugged just a little bit ago.
So this is, I don't know if we're in the Bermuda Triangle or something, but this has been quite a challenge.
Jesus Christ, our living Lord, does not want this episode to be released. but I love defying Jesus, so let's keep going.
All right, so we are...
Skylar drives home, and she's like, Walt!
God damn it, get out of the house. And he's like, I'm not getting out of the house. I live here. That's what's up. And she's like, get out.
There's a funny video someone made of like they added a laugh track to this scene, where it's kind of fun, where like the audience laughs when Walt pokes his head out, and then they laugh harder when she goes, "We'll get out of there." And it's a funny clip. Go look it up, guys.
Sounds great.
Yeah, and she goes in there, and Walt's like, "Okay, he's being shitty. He's kind of right. He does own the house."
Okay, but so I want to say that what happens next makes my skin crawl in terms.
What happens next makes my skin crawl for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like
I don't like that he. I don't like that he leverages the child.
Yeah, both children.
I forgot. Yeah, the baby's not. I forget about the baby.
But yes, he does have his name on the deed, but during separations, like if you file for divorce and everything, which I guess I don't know that process if this was the first time she saw a lawyer at all. Mm-hmm. Generally speaking, one party moves out of the house because, you know, it's an acrimonious time. But Skylar is like, "You got to go. If you don't go, I'm going to call the cops. I'm going to tell them." And this is this weird game of chicken that they play where he's like, "I got nothing to lose without my family. I did this all for the family. You go ahead. You turn me in. I don't care." And she's like, "I'll do it." And he's like, "Go ahead, do it." And so she goes to call the cops and she looks up the cops number.
She looks up 911 in the phone book, which is very fun.
Yeah. And then
is there a non-emergency number? Is that why she would look it up? Oh, okay. I don't really know. I've never called the police.
I mean, I think you can kind of tell that things aren't going to, obviously, you know, she's not going to report it to the police. But the fact that if you're watching it the right way, she calls not an emergency is probably the biggest telltale that this isn't going
to. Can you call the regular 911 and be like, "Can you connect me to, like, you know, the B team?"
No, I don't think that's a good idea.
Okay. I don't know how it works.
I've had to call 911 once when I was like coming home on the 405 in a Lyft, and there was just a lady like walking around the 405, like her car was, she was just walking. And I even then didn't call like 911. I called like, you know, the non-emergency number because it wasn't like, you know, I don't know. I didn't know what to do. And then the non-emergency number doesn't always have a designated person to answer. I like left a voicemail and was like, "Well, that's about my extent of having to be a concerned citizen here." You know?
The most I've done is noise complaints through an online portal, which we've discussed previously.
Yes.
So far, they haven't. They've been less so.
Okay. Well, there you go.
That's been nice. I had two guys arguing outside my window, just yelling at each other so loudly. They yelled the N-word a bunch.
Whoa.
And I think one of them owed the other one $30,000. And it was just such a drama.
That feels weird to try to hash that out on the street.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And there's a lot of talk about how it's not about the money. And that was interesting.
To me, it would be about the money.
Yeah, it would be about the money for me, too. Yeah. But I called my roommate in, and I was like, "Let's listen to some drama."
And was he like, "This is interesting. Great, great,
yeah,
great.
This is interesting stuff." He's like, "Oh, really? You really taste the city."
So she calls non-emergency. She's like, "I have a domestic disturbance. My ex-husband is here." And then, you know who comes home?
Their little child.
Yeah, and he's like all excited to see his dad. And Skylar's like, "We're having a thing. Can you go to your room?" And then Flynn is like, "No, I'm going to stay
and then
here."
Walt makes the best looking grilled cheese sandwich I have ever seen.
Well, the fact that he made two of them and the police still hadn't arrived troubled me.
You can whip one of those up pretty quick.
I'd say it's 5 minutes a sandwich. So that was 10 minutes of just fucking around.
If you have a big enough skillet, you can make two at the same time.
How big would that skillet be?
Not that big. Oh my god, do you only have one skillet and it's very tiny?
Just the two pieces of bread side by side smacked up. Maybe I make them wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
I make great grilled
I used
cheese
to work for a grilled cheese cart in college, so.
Oh my gosh, did you really?
Yeah, I did. So I guess I have some professional experience.
Wow. And I know, here I have just been making them for myself and my kids for free like a fucking goon.
Yeah, I know. So I'm sorry about that. But yeah, no, I don't know. It's good shit. I like grilled cheese. It might be my favorite, like, shitty snack to make for yourself.
Yeah, grilled cheese sandwich is great. It's been rainy and cold and icky in LA lately, so I might make grilled cheeses soon.
Yeah. And he puts some Lay's potato chips to the side. They look delicious. And sometimes sometimes I'll pop open that sandwich and I'll put a few Lay's on the sandwich.
Yeah, my favorite combination was always Tostitos and a grilled cheese in a grilled cheese. I thought that was a good combo.
Oh, my mic did the thing again, but I don't think you're hearing me through my mic right now, so you missed it. Ah, fuck.
Ah, fuck. Well, shit.
Well, shit. There's gonna be hiccups.
It's gonna be okay.
Yeah.
So then, while they're eating the grilled cheeses, guess what? Ding dong, police finally there, and Flynn's like, why do you keep doing this to Dad? Why did you call the cops? Are you serious? Why are you like this? And during the interviews, the police are like, you know, talking to Skylar, like, hey, what's the deal here? What's going on? They ask all the standard questions. They ask, like, oh, has he hit you? And she's like, no. What has he done wrong? I can get him out of the house if you just tell me one thing he's done wrong. I can get him to leave. And then the other police officer is like, hey, what do you make of all this, young boy? And I don't know why Albuquerque would allow, like, a child to testify or, like, to take a statement, you know.
He looks 18.
But, yeah, so then the thing that made my skin crawl is the fact that Walt tries to assume this persona of like being this really attentive father with both kids. And he's like, oh, I got it, honey. Don't worry, honey. And I just knew how manipulative it was. It just really, it was insincere and it grossed me out. I really don't like that. You know, it made me want Skylar to say, just make something up. Like, just say like he, you know, did something really bad and you have to get rid of him because at this point, like he kind of deserves it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I wish so too. She kind of later on in her attorney's office is like, I don't know. I just, he might die soon, which seems to be the reason. So.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Being a grown-up sucks.
Yeah, that was a very, you know, I felt frustrated for Skylar just because I wanted better for her. And I also just thought, like, that. This is the thing where it's like, oh, no, Walt's got all this money in the desert, and he's doing deals with Nazis. He's so bad. But then, like, on a micro level, he's, like, using his kids to manipulate his wife in front of the police and to, like, change her reality. That seems so insidious and gross to me, you know?
Yeah, it's pretty gaslighty.
Yeah, very abusive.
So, yeah, and then they leave, and they're like, all right, well, he seems cool.
Yeah. And then the cops, like, call this number. That never pays off in the future.
No, they never do that. Yeah, and then she's just like, all right, well, welcome home. And she kind of just goes in her room and reads a book.
Yeah, I think she takes the baby and says, welcome home. And yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, then, I mean, it's just all the Jesse stuff kind of happens throughout the episode. Mm. He's in a new house.
Yeah.
And it's
empty.
It's empty. And he keeps calling a cell phone number.
Yes.
Whose number do you think it is?
I think it's Jane's.
Okay, that's a good theory.
I think it's Jane's because we hear a voicemail and it's a girl talking and, you know,
But she never says, hey, it's Jane.
No, but she's got like a quirky little like, hey, if you're trying to sell me something, I got some words for you. No call list, but do not call us. But if you're cool, leave a message. And it just seems like, you know, a sassy little sass ass that she may have been.
But what if it's some other girl?
Then he moves like way faster than I thought he did. I don't know. Because
he's boning Andrea in like a couple weeks.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Bryan Cranston would have been better for Jane.
Yeah.
To play her.
What about Marie? Shouldn't Marie have played Jane?
Yeah. I think Bryan Cranston should have played Marie.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. I think Marie should have played Hank.
Yeah, Marie would have been a good at Hank.
Yeah.
What's her name? Betsy Brandt. That's her name. I should know that. Yeah, and then Saul comes over, and he's like, I brought you a cactus.
Yes.
And he's like, you should cook meth again. And Jesse says, all right, I'll try it out. And that's it.
Yeah, and but not with Mr. White. Wasn't that kind of it? Like, he couldn't get Walter White did, maybe not, maybe I'm remembering, whatever.
He asked him, he's like, you should convince Walt to cook too, because, you know, he's really fucking, he's kind of like, you know, he's like Michael Jordan and you're like Muggsy Bogues. You know, you're fine. They were never on the same team. I don't know, I shouldn't do sports metaphors.
Okay, you're like, he's like Michael Jordan and you're like Steve Kerr.
Were they on the same team?
Yes. at the same time.
Were they now?
Yes.
Okay.
But so Steve Kerr, we do not have to get into 90s Bulls.
Okay. No. Okay. Walt is like Michael Jordan.
Yes.
Jesse's Scottie Pippen.
So
they were
underpaid, sure.
Underpaid. And like pretty good, but like, you know, dude, Michael Jordan's here.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think we want to go with Steve Kerr because Scottie Pippen has some problematic history.
Did he?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's say Walt's Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
And Jesse is the Washington Generals.
Okay. Yeah. That's a safe metaphor. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. So Jesse. Yeah. Got it. They were on the same team at the same time, right?
Yeah, that's true. The whole Washington Generals was on the Chicago Bulls in the 90s.
Yeah. Okay. I've seen Save the Last Dance. I know what I'm talking about.
Save the Last Dance, that's the one with Julia Stile?
Oh, shit. That is the one with Julia Stile, but there was a Michael Jordan documentary. It's called The Last Dance. Save the Last Dance is so good, though.
Yeah, I have a big crush on Julia Stiles. About basketball, too, right?
Yeah. It's a metaphor for basketball, that whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Just like Breaking Bad is a metaphor for COVID-19. Everyone knows this. It's common knowledge.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Hank is wanted back in El Paso.
Oh yeah, and he's and all like chipper about it. And Gomez is obvious, like, okay, sure, yeah, all right, cool, tight. But you can see Hank is like, the realities of this are overwhelming for me.
Oh, and there's a very short scene which I had totally forgot about, where a nice old lady in a wheelchair is getting into a wheelchair accessible van.
Yes.
And then presumably the cousins murder her.
Why wouldn't they just take her van and give her $100,000?
We don't know if they murder her. Yeah. Just, but actually, this lady, there's not that many under fives this episode. And so I was like, I don't even know if I want to talk about it. But this is pretty cool. This is her one acting credit. She's been a casting director since 1975.
Oh, wow. That's fun.
Yeah. And she I don't know if you've ever heard of this little movie called Jaws.
Oh, yeah?
And Close Encounters of the Third Kind and Mississippi Burning. And Breaking Bad, she was. And she died like the year after this was filmed, it looks like.
Oh, wow.
Her name was Sherry Rhodes. She seemed cool.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
She has one line. She says, hello.
Yeah. Well.
That's her one on-camera line ever.
Good for
hello.
Her. Yeah. That's cool that she works so much with Steven Spielberg. That's neat.
Yeah, she did it looks like she does location casting because, like, for Sex and Lies in Sin City, a TV movie, she did casting in New Mexico.
Mm.
And, oh, it looks like she must have lived in Los Angeles for a while and moved to New Mexico after a little while.
Okay.
Because then after Breaking Bad, all her stuff's in New Mexico. It's fun. People, oh, wait. Oh, no, she did Jaws and Jaws 2. Okay.
Okay.
Interesting. Sorry. That was a lot.
So, so now the van is driving to a big, terrifying chicken factory. I'd never seen the interior of Gus's chicken farm. It's alarming.
It's a lot of chickens.
It's wall-to-wall chickens, though.
And they're all going to die.
Yeah, it's freaky. Actually, that's interesting. Like, I wonder if they just found B-roll footage, like, in a database somewhere. Because, like, they're not going to go and get 15,000 chickens just for one shot, right?
No, but what they could also do is just find a chicken farm and just be like, hey, can we set up a camera for a couple seconds?
Yeah, I mean, that could be it too. Good point. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah, I don't know. And basically, he's like, hey, these guys, or maybe they do describe a lot of backstory, so maybe you should describe what happened in the scene. A lot of subtitles.
Remember. Okay, so they roll up, and Hector Salamanca is in the van, and Gus is like, oh, my place isn't wheelchair accessible, so the cousins have to pick up their uncle and carry him inside. And basically, let me think, it was like Tuco, right? Tuco was involved with this. He was... Yeah. Gosh. Okay, so just trying to think of how to describe it. Basically, it sounded like Tuco was in charge of that territory. Walter White was selling, and it was an infringement upon Tuco's territory. And so they wanted to kill him, but then Gus got in business with Walter. And since Gus runs like stuff a bit, that side of the border, he he wanted to keep Walter White alive until his business was done with him. Is that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty close. Yeah. I think the only thing kind of missing is just that they specifically said Walt betrayed Tuco, and because of that, Tuco's dead.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was working with Tuco. And then Gus is like, well, that sucks.
You can kill him when I'm done with him.
Yeah. You know, once I'm done, fuck it. And then I'll get my $3 million back. And then I got free meth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
So, you know, like in Grand Theft Auto, when you pay, like, I don't know, like a prostitute or a drug dealer, and then you can run them over with your car and get your money back.
Yeah. Yeah, so
just
that's...
like that.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. And that's what Gus was thinking.
Yeah, that he could just chop him with the machete and the money would just be floating in the air and he'd take
the money away. Falls out and all his guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
good
man.
Shit. Grand Theft Auto. Fun game. Haven't played it in a while.
I played Vice City a lot, and I remember I used to put on the code that made ladies super attracted to you, and then I'd take them all up to the roof of a building, and I'd chop them up with the machete and take all their money.
Wow. That's fun. It's a good way to get money. Yeah. And they're like, all right. And he's, well, yeah, Juan Bolz is basically just like, dude, these cousins are like,
kind of fun.
They might not wait.
Yeah, they're antsy in the pantsy. And I guess that was pretty much it. And I remember... Tio was like, you're ringing a bell pretty emphatically about it. He was like, I don't like this. I don't like what we're saying here. Ring, 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 ding, mm-hmm. ding, ding type of thing, right?
Yeah. Yep.
What's the next scene? Because I forgot.
Oh, yeah. There's a little bit where Walt, it's very short, Walt's sleeping in Holly's room. And he wakes up because the daughter's crying in Skylar's room, and he's like, honey, can I pee? And then he pees in the sink. That's it.
Yeah. He stands on his tiptoes to put his junk in the sink. It's
there's no hallway bathroom, which I'm pretty sure there is. Well, he reaches for a door and then like goes like, yeah. And then, I don't know. Like, is it plugged?
Maybe he thinks like flushing the toilet will wake up his son or something.
Or maybe his son. He's like, oh, he sits on that toilet all night, so he's in there.
There has to be a hallway bathroom. Well, maybe not, because remember, maybe there's just the... No, that can't be, but like, Hank goes
into their bathroom. Oh, yeah, because Hank used that.
To go take a
it's
shit.
It's a one-bathroom house?
That cannot be. But maybe...
I guess I've never seen another bathroom.
Maybe they just don't want to go into... I don't know, man. That's wacky to have a three-bedroom, one-bath house.
There's three whole bedrooms and one whole bathroom.
Yeah, and to have that one bathroom be the master bath in the master bedroom. What a stupidly designed house.
And it's a real house, so like, there has to be, I don't know, that's weird.
Maybe the other bathroom is just in Flynn's room and nobody wants to go in there because it's disgusting because he's a boy and he's got his pubes and stuff all over the place.
Yeah. Huh. Wow.
Maybe, maybe this is a shitty thing to say, but maybe, like, they don't use Flynn's bathroom because it's, like, decked out for Flynn, like it is accessible bathroom or something.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. We never see it, so, but that could be, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well.
That's why.
There we go.
Yeah, and then there's that scene, we have already talked about it, with her divorce lawyer. Pretty short.
Yeah, she's like... Oh, my husband cooks meth. And she's like, oh, let me tell the cops what you just told me. Everything's going to be great. And then she goes, oh, no, he'll be dead. I just don't want to ruin my son's opinion.
Skylar kind of out of character. She starts, like, pumping her hand like this. She goes, whoop, pump the brakes.
Whoa.
And it was, yeah, I liked it, but because Anna Gunn can do anything.
Yeah.
At some point, I don't know if we missed it, but there's a wonderful... little shot of her just smoking the shit out of a cigarette in front of
the window.
I think
that was the scene where the baby wakes up and starts crying and Walter tries to help. Yeah.
Oh, it's beautiful.
She just is staring out a window. You see her great profile, uh-huh. And she's just got the weight of the world on her shoulders, and you can tell it. And then the baby wakes up and she's like, oh, shit, the fuzz is here. She has to, like, exhale the smoke out the window and everything.
It looks like half of that painting, The Creation of Adam, where the guy's doing this.
Yeah, reaching out. Yeah.
But with a cigarette. It's beautiful. It's wonderful staging. Thank you, Michelle McLaren. I think you maybe should have directed Wonder Woman. Michelle McLaren directed this episode. She was up for Wonder Woman, but dropped out, and Patty Jenkins took it over. That's all. That's what that meant.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I think Michelle McLaren would have done a good job.
I think that Wonder Woman 1984 was fine. I don't know why everybody's so mad.
I haven't seen it.
Okay.
But I don't know. I really like the first one, but I really like Michelle McLaren, though, so I think I just would have, I don't know.
Okay, yeah, no, I get it. I get it.
I don't know.
It's fine. You know what?
Is that
okay? I think you're going to have the opposite reaction of most of America, which is you are not prepared for it to be so bad that you're going to be outraged mm-hmm. that when you see it and it's just like a fine regular movie, you'll be like, oh, yeah, this kind of falls apart in the third act, but the beginning's fun, whatever.
Okay. Well, are there two sexy things that were in the first movie that are in the second movie? And I'll list them out here. Do we get to see Chris Pine without a shirt on?
Yeah.
Okay. And then do we get to see Gal Gadot's legs doing athletic things?
Yes.
Okay. Well, then I'm on board.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Because, oh, shit. There's that scene where she's like pushing the two trucks apart.
Yeah. She uses her big, big legs. Big, strong
legs.
She uses
her big, awesome athletic legs, which I just to die for.
You like a big, strong leg?
Mm-hmm.
That's good to know. I have big, strong legs, and I always feel nervous about the fact that they're not skinny little tiny legs. And
big, strong legs.
I just need mm-hmm. to know there's a market out there for big, strong legs.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like a girl who looks like she can carry a box up a flight of stairs. That's what I'm looking for.
All right, so then what's next? Oh, Hank starts going to the bars. Is that it?
Yeah. Oh, and then I think we found a mistake in this scene.
We absolutely did. So
yeah, so they bring just this awful plate of nachos to Hank and Gomez in his bar, and then Gomez is like, "These nachos look like shit." Like they comment on them.
Yeah.
And then Hank's like upset. He's like, "I gotta go to the bathroom," and does some water on the face. Comes back. He sent back the nachos. He said, "These are no good."
I like the idea just that not Hank there. Was so mad about the fucking nachos. He's just so upset. He's like, I gotta go take a leak. I can't handle this. Like,
they've got a bunch of like black shit on them. I don't know. They looked fine. I thought they looked okay.
I just thought like, you're in New Mexico. You could probably find better nachos. That's all. Like that. New Mexico is known for Tex-Mex, right? Like,
is it? I don't know. That makes sense. That would make sense.
Yeah. I thought it was. I guess Tex-Mex is Texas.
Or El Paso,
Mexican.
I think, would, yeah.
Yeah. All right, you know what? Fuck it. Never mind. I take it back. I'm sorry, listeners. But, then, you know, Hank's kind of eyeballing some meatheads, and he thinks they're passing drugs back and forth. And, so...
The tall one's played by Keith Jardine. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Gomez. Who was in John Wick? That was cool.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and Logan. He's been in a bunch of cool shit. Anyway.
Are you going to put the music over that?
I don't know.
You kinda should.
That
I
was
like
fun.
That bit.
That was fun for a few weeks. Oh. And okay. I don't know. Well, now we've talked about it, we probably will. But yeah, I don't know. He's in Preacher, Inherent Vice.
All right. This guy. Gomez tries to phone it in, but he's like, no, I want to go. I want to leave. That's what Hank says. No, thank mm-hmm. you. Let's go.
Oh, because they see a drug deal going on. Yeah. Or did you say that? Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's okay.
And, yeah. Yeah, and then Hank leaves his gun in the car. That's the big thing.
Why do you think he did that?
Because he's like, dude, I can fucking take him.
I'm going to beat the shit out of these guys.
I don't need my fucking gun.
I mean,
maybe it's like...
To be
maybe
fair...
Maybe it's a foreshadow of when he takes on the two cousins without his gun.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he's just got a death wish.
Maybe. You know, we've all started a fight in a local bar just to feel something.
I haven't.
I've seen you do it.
When? Name
I've seen
describe
you.
It. Describe it for
at
me.
At Birds.
What?
At Birds. We're at Birds.
We were at yeah. Birds.
You're at Birds, and you said you, like, your tax guy, you didn't get as big of a refund that year as you thought you would, and you went, yeah, I'm fine, I'm just going to go to the bathroom, and then you beat the shit out of that lady.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Don't you remember that?
Now I do, yeah. Well, every time I think about Birds, I just think about everybody liked their mac and cheese so much, and I didn't like it. And I get mad just thinking about the mac and cheese, so I guess I blacked out the whole beating somebody up thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you kept saying, FBI! And we're like, Meg, what are you doing?
Hold on, my son's too excited. Brocky, talk quieter. Rocky. Well, all right. Well, you guys are just gonna deal with it. I don't know.
They're just gonna deal with it. It's fine. They're used to the guy, the babble of children in the background of these episodes at this point.
Our next episode, it'll be quiet in the background for the most part.
Maybe. Oh yeah, I guess we do alternate weekends.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, then Hank beats him up. Oh, and there's a shot of their like jaw or like their teeth hitting a bar.
Yeah, boosh, and the
that's my like I almost have to close my eyes during that.
Really, that's interesting to me. I don't.
I have a reoccurring dream that like I'm tied down and one person's holding my lips back. So like my head's clenched and someone's holding my lips back so they can see my teeth and they're taking a little spike with a hammer and they're just knocking out my teeth like that. It's like a reoccurring nightmare I have.
That seems troubling, yeah.
It's very troubling. Yeah, I don't like it. It's probably why I haven't accomplished as much as I want, because I keep thinking about that.
That's usually like, I've heard that that's a, like, you're worried about getting older when you have dreams like that.
I'm terrified of getting older, yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's good. Okay, well, as long as that's cleared up. Okay, so then he's back at headquarters and Gomez is like he wants to, you know, Mercer wants to talk to you and also here's the lie I told him, but I didn't tell him that you left your fucking gun under the seat, bitch.
Yeah, it's kind of the beginning of them, their little like fracas the next episode where they're like
yeah, they're really pissed off at each other. And then what next, my friend?
Well, there's a little bit of Jesse calling that voicemail and then the call cannot be completed because this number has been disconnected.
Yeah.
And that's sad. Jesse does some good face acting this episode.
Yeah, you could tell that he's like, well, that was all I had left. Oh, my God. Now what am I going to do?
But then he drives, he makes some more meth.
Yeah.
There's just a small shot of him in the RV.
Yes. And it's gross in there.
And then there's like a little scene where Walt's like, hey, Skylar, look at all this money. Like, come on.
Yeah, let's just talk. Let's just chat. Come on.
And he's like, you can't pay for this house. Look at this.
It's college tuition. It's everything. Like, we got to just chill the fuck out, lady. And she's like, okay.
And he's like, now give us a kiss.
Okay, later. And then she later? Goes to work and she's in the coffee room where the copy machine is. I don't know. There's a lot of copy machines in this building, right?
Oh, yeah, there are at least two.
Yeah.
And why is there a copy machine in the break room?
I don't know. I'm just saying.
When there's a full-fledged copy room.
I guess it might be. I think it's known colloquially as a plot device so that it can get her laid.
I think it'd be easier if they just threw a Keurig in the copy room.
That's fair. So then, yeah, she's just making copies, and guess who comes in? It's Ted. And he needs some coffee, and he says, hey, Sky, and walks over.
Oh, wow, what a sneeze.
That snuck up on me. I'm so sorry.
You did a cartoon laugh to introduce that sneeze. Can I keep that in?
Sure, go for it. I don't care.
Okay, great. You went, hee-hoo!
I was trying to stifle it, and it just it just came out that way. I think it's coming again. I'm sorry. But can I just sidetrack on sneezes? I had an ex-boyfriend in high school and college who would get really mad at me that I sneezed more than once every time I sneezed.
Oh, I'm not like that. I don't get mad. Like, I sneeze more. I sneeze at least 3 or 4 times.
Yeah, and his mom would criticize me and be like, if you sneezed more powerfully on your first sneeze, then you wouldn't have to sneeze more than once. And I was like, you guys are all psychopaths. Like, you guys all...
Did you tell her to eat a dick? Jesus, that's awful. Why would anyone say
that? Yeah, it was so bizarre. Like, I never felt more under a microscope than I did. I mean, I think I just, like... I don't know. It was just a weird thing to criticize, like, somebody sneezing. It'd be like, if you coughed bad, I don't understand how you control that, you know? Anyway, so, Skylar, my sneeze notwithstanding... is like, sees Ted, he's just making his coffee.
This is, and I've never, she is kind of like, I don't know if she was like planning on this or just like came naturally, but she's like copying stuff like I'm not even joking. Like, she has like a little sexy, like, kink in her step while she's copying shit.
I guess I didn't notice, but maybe she's just like, vibing. She's just feeling it.
She's going like, ooh la la, like Xerox. Like, I don't know.
I'll have to rewatch that scene.
Yeah.
And yeah, she just sashays right over to Ted and rubs his shoulder, just places a hand on his shoulder, and he turns around and they're just looking at each other and they start kissing. And I was like, is this how it works? Is this what I've been doing wrong? Like, what have I been doing wrong? How do I not have these type of moments in my life literally ever? I don't know.
Yeah. And then she's like, are you kids home?
Yeah.
And he's like, nah. And then they fuck a bunch and they don't use protection, which is cool.
Yeah. Well, because he's like, you're still breastfeeding, right? You can't get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And she says, that's right. That's true. And then.
And then she goes, because I hate condoms.
Yeah. And he goes, are you sure? I think I might feel. And she goes, no, babe, I'm clean. Don't worry about it. And
she goes, it's cool.
Yeah. God damn. What a psychopath. Just thinking about people who are like, I don't know. Sorry. Just thinking about.
Yeah, it's
about
cool. I'm clean.
Yeah, it's fun to wear condoms, guys. It's cool to be safe.
They're fine. You last longer. They're great.
Just intimidating. Anytime anybody's like, oh, I've been tested. It's like, I don't really care.
Show me the documents.
Yeah. Also, just wear a fucking condom, stranger, when you put yourself inside of a person. Yeah. Okay. So, anyways, they fuck. And Skylar comes home. And you know who's there? Somebody I've heard a lot about. His name is
Lewis.
And there was
He appears in one other episode, so he's not our thing. But I just clicked on him out of curiosity. I've heard this actor's name before.
Was he in X-Men First Class?
Yeah, it's Caleb Landry Jones.
Yeah, he's like a male model. I thought that was him. He plays like Banshee, right, in X-Men?
Yeah, and he's in Three Billboards Outside of
Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
And he's in Get Out. And I was like, oh, yeah, I've seen this guy. I've heard this name. And he was in the new Twin Peaks. And that was like my favorite thing I saw in the last decade.
Yeah.
The Twin Peaks revival. And so I was like, holy shit. And he just plays like a little goober who has like one line.
Yeah. I mean, he's pretty young. He would have just been like, you know, 15 or 16 at that time. But I saw him and I was like, is that Banshee? Like, is that the, that's wild. And then you're like, maybe. And I didn't feel like looking it up. But that's wild. Yeah.
Yeah. Suffice to say, he books.
Yeah, he books. He makes.
He books just fine.
Was this one of his first credits?
Yeah, it's his third credit.
Oh wow. Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, and I guess fourth technically, because his third would have been. He's in one other episode of Breaking Bad, and if memory serves, it's just as minor of a part. He's just like, "Hi, Mrs. White."
Now, if they talk about your character, I think you still get paid. If they even like.
Well, really?
It. Yeah, maybe.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Maybe I'm wrong. Let's not. I'll do the research. But I thought like, just even having like a character reference, they're like, oh shit, okay. So Tuco in combo, they clean up. But maybe I'm wrong.
So it looks like he must have like he was on Friday Night Lights. That must have been his big break. Because before that, everything is just like adorable guy, fraternity guy.
Yeah.
And then I never saw Friday Night Lights. But then after that, X-Men.
Yeah, I mean a lot of those Friday Night Lights. That's where like Jesse Plemons got his start and everything. So. They're watching Aqua Teen Hunger Force, which was my personal favorite as a teen. So
all my friends liked it and I didn't like it. And I don't know why, and maybe I should rewatch it and I'd like it now, but I never liked Aqua Teen Hunger Force. I don't know why.
You know, I think if you just like a lot of non sequitur sentences and weird choices, you'd like it. But if that's not a thing you like.
I do now. I don't think I did. I don't know. I felt such an outcast when I didn't like it and all my friends loved it.
I really want to watch the movie again. I can't find that anywhere streaming for free. The movie was quite fun.
You can pay $4 and rent it on Amazon.
All right. Okay, fine. Let's figure
it out. I'm very much on like that. If I can't find it, I'll throw down $4 because that's less than it was ever going to go to Blockbuster.
That's true. That's very true.
We got to find it free. Guys, it's all there for $4.
So then after that, Walt's like, hey, I'm making pot roast. Look at me. I'm cooking. And I fucking hate it when guys are like that. They're like trying to be kiss asses and they're like, look, I'm making pot roast. Like, look at me trying.
It looked like a really good dinner though.
I mean, sure. He's probably really trying, but at the same time, it makes me mad to think that he's like probably to me, the fact that he's so tickled by the fact that he made pot roast and it turned out well, that he probably wasn't the type of guy to cook a lot, you know?
This doesn't matter, but and a salad.
Oh, and a salad. Oh, well, yeah, that's just good.
That's important. And he's wearing an apron.
Yeah.
That's important.
And then he tries to have like a very, you know, reasonable discussion of like, I want to know what you have to say about what we talked about. And she just looks at him and completely dead ass in the eyes goes, I fuck Ted. And then goes and gets them ready for dinner. The boys. And
she kind of does exactly what he did to her.
But in a different way, because it's just to him and not in front of police, which is good.
Leverages the children being around so he can't say anything.
Yeah.
Which is kind of fun. But later they argue on tape.
Yes. So there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty good shit.
Mm-hmm.
Fun episode.
Yeah. I give this one like an A minus, I think.
Oh, good job.
Good job.
Yeah. That was to Michelle McLaren.
Oh, good. Yeah, Michelle, like, good thank you for listening, and
good,
thank you.
Good job making it.
Yeah, good episode.
You know, The Ringer puts it out of 62 episodes. You want to guess?
I think this one is very middle of the road. I think it's like 36.
This is the closest you've ever been, 41.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That feels like I got it right just because.
That feels, yeah. Oh, there's definitely a 5 spread on each side.
Yeah, That's
for sure. I don't know. I like it a lot. Yeah. She fucked Ted, everyone.
I think I like that the most, is that she goes and is like, I'm going to use this man as a means to end my marriage, which, like, good for her, you know?
And then she kind of ghosts him, because then they fuck for a little while, and then he just kind of goes away once Hank gets shot, and then he shows up at his door. He's like, hey, Sky, I just wanted to see how you're doing.
Yeah, I kind of fell in love with you a little bit.
Yeah. And then she's just like, now you want to do this?
Yeah.
That's why I love that they bring him back in season 4. Because I remember watching because I think I watched it all. And before season 4 came out, I watched it all again. And Ted just kind of seemed like one of those like plot devices that just isn't going to come back.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, well, Ted served his purpose. And then they work him in again and actually make the whole thing like of major consequence to the main drug story, which I loved. I love that they did that.
Yeah, it's almost so as she didn't, well, if she, whether or not she had sex with Ted, I don't know. I'm just trying to think it through, like whether or not she had sex with Ted, the problems that Ted had would have affected them either way, right? Because the whole idea.
Yeah, the big thing was that she helped cook his books.
But she didn't do that after the fact that they were sleeping together. She was already doing that, right?
Yeah, so, I think so.
So it would have been, might as well that she slept with him, you know?
And I think it's probably just a character thing, the fact that like she gave his money to Ted and that was like a big like hit for Walt. Like, what?
Yeah.
That's for my money? Like, she fucked Ted with Walt's money.
Again, yeah. He just keeps getting left and right. He keeps getting dicked by this guy. But yeah, I mean, I thought that this was going to be a little bit more salacious. It was a build-up to this Ted Beneke thing. I thought it was going to be like, you know, he came onto her and he did something wrong. Not wrong, but like, she was really in control of this whole situation. And so in some respects, I kind of still like Ted, even though he fucked up with his taxes. And I know we both agree that's unforgivable. He is really a bystander here. And, you know,
I think he got what he deserved.
I just,
with the paralyzation.
I don't think so. I don't think he, I think he really is like pretty innocent in all of this. Listen, I wouldn't want somebody to put me like, chop off my leg. You know, because
the
thing
I disagree with is I wish the federal government would have been the one making it so he couldn't walk again. not two goons.
Fair. And to be fair, it really was himself, but yeah.
True. Yeah. Remember when he tripped over a carpet earlier in that episode and it foreshadowed later on he was going to trip over it and
very
hurt his head?
Very subtle, yeah. Very, very subtle.
That was fun.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we finally did it.
We did do it. Well, let's not fucking jinx
this
it.
This is going to make my computer explode when I...
Yeah, I'm going to press stop and my computer is going to melt into a pile of ash somehow. All right. So until next time, we say pensively,
Until next time,
a mighty fine
Heisenberg to you, dear listener.
Bye.
Bye.